This television or radio recording of the Queen's Christmas message is supplied to you in confidence, and any use is subject to the following conditions. 1. No radio broadcast of the Christmas message may be given before 09 hours Greenwich Mean Time on Christmas Day, the 25th of December, 1993, and no television broadcast of the Christmas message before 15 hours Greenwich Mean Time on Christmas Day, the 25th of December, 1993, in any part of the world except in the following territories: Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong, Kiribati, Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, Tonga, Tuvalu, and Vanuatu, where no radio or television broadcast may be given before 18 hours local time on the 25th of December, 1993. 2. No television or radio broadcast of the Christmas message may be given after the 29th of December, 1993, without the prior written consent of Her Majesty's Press Secretary, Mr. Charles Anson. 3. Extracts from the Christmas message may only be used in news bulletins, and no extract may be included in a news bulletin broadcast before the end of the first complete broadcast of the Christmas message. 4. Except for extracts in news bulletins broadcast in accordance with 3 above, the Christmas message may only be broadcast in full and without breaks for commercials or any other reason. No reproduction of the Christmas message or any part thereof, nor any other use of this television or radio recording other than as expressly authorized above, is permitted. If these conditions are not acceptable, the material should not be transmitted.
I am speaking to you from the library at Sandringham. 4 generations of my family have enjoyed the quiet and solace over Christmas to make it rather more lively. Most of the books on the shelves date from my great-grandfather's time, and their titles reflect the life and events of those days. Books are one of the ways in which each generation can communicate its history, values, and culture to the next. There are books here about statesmen, explorers, warriors, and saints. There are many about war, especially the First World War, which ended 75 years ago. Families and loved ones of those who fought in it knew little of the horrors of the trenches, other than from artists' drawings or photographs, often published days or weeks after the event. Nowadays, stories and pictures from all over the world can be gathered up and appear in print within hours. We have indeed become a global village. It is no longer possible to plead ignorance about what is going on in far-off parts of the world. Switch on the radio or television, and the graphic details of distant events are instantly available to us. Not all the pictures bring gloomy news. This year has seen significant progress made towards solving some of the world's most difficult problems. The Middle East, for instance, the democratic future of South Africa, and most recently, Northern Ireland. All too often, though, we find ourselves watching or listening to the sort of news which, as a daily diet, can be almost overwhelming. It makes us yearn for some good news. If we can look on the bright side, so much the better. But that does not mean we should shield ourselves from the truth, even if it is unwelcome. I believe that we should be aware of events which in the old days might have passed us by. But that means facing up to the question of what we can do to use that awareness for the greater good. The simple answer is, of course, all too little. But there is another answer. It is that the more we know, the more we feel responsible, and the more we want to help. Those involved in international charity work confirm that modern communications have helped to bring them public support and made them more effective. People are not shunning the added responsibility, but shouldering it. All of us owe a debt to those volunteers who are out there in the front line, putting our donations to use by looking after the wounded, the hungry, and the oppressed. Much of their work never reaches the headlines or television screens, but their example should inspire us all the same. We cannot all follow them the whole way, but we can do something to help within our own community, particularly at Christmas, when those without work or the company of family or friends feel especially left out. I am always moved by those words in St. John's Gospel, which we hear on Christmas Day. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. We have only to listen to the news to know the truth of that. But the Gospel goes on. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. For all the inhumanity around us, let us be grateful for those who have received him and who go about quietly doing their work and his will without thought of reward or recognition. They know that there is an eternal truth of much greater significance than our own triumphs and tragedies, and it is embodied by the child in the manger. That is their message of hope. We can all try to reflect that message of hope in our own lives, in our actions, and in our prayers. If we do, the reflection may light the way for others and help them to read the message too. We live in the global village, but villages are made up of families. We, the peoples of the 50 nations of the Commonwealth, more than a quarter of the world's population, have as members of one of the largest families a great responsibility. By working together, we can help the rest of the world become a more humane and happier place. I am reminded this year of some lines from a Christmas hymn which many of you will know. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. In Northern Ireland, especially these last years, fear has made the streets dark indeed. Now we have seen that the light of hope can brighten them. May 1994 bring to those brave people who live there and go about their lawful lives undaunted the reward they deserve, peace. I hope you all enjoy your Christmas. I pray with you for a happy and peaceful New Year.